I am totally blind. I lost my vision in September 2013, so I haven't been able to see anything except light since then. And colour was always a massive part of my life. Not only do I appreciate it in the respect of it brings me joy knowing that I'm wearing something colourful and I can associate it with a feeling or a time or a mood, but colour helps people express themselves, and I've always appreciated being able to express myself through colour.
I dig your colours, girl. Shades of life, a lot of you. Tell me what you see through your eyes of changing hue.
Hello, how are you? We're up to episode 17 of the Hello Colour podcast, and I'm your host, colour therapist and all-round champion for colour, Momtaz Begum Hussein. Colour is my superpower, and on a daily basis I make it my goal to share and spread the joy of colour. But what if you can't see colour? Can you still experience it? One of the reasons I started my podcast in 2021 is that I wanted to make discussions about colour more accessible. A lot of people have told me that they don't read, so having recently published my book, Hello Rainbow, Finding Happiness in Colour, I didn't want my wisdom to go to waste. So audio was a challenge because when you can't see colour, you have to talk about it in a more descriptive way. Around that time, I also met Sassy, who is blind and is an accessibility specialist. She made me realise just how crucial descriptions about colours are. Just because someone can't see colour doesn't mean they don't care about it. This is the most important episode of the podcast I've ever recorded. I'm thrilled that Sassy agreed to be my guest. Coming up, she shares some practical tips and advice that every single one of us can take on board, especially when it comes to social media. So, first of all, let's hear from Sassy about who she is and what she does. But news just in, before I hand over to Sassy, we recorded our podcast last week, and this morning, as I was finalising the episode edit, it was announced that she has just won Diversity Champion of the Year at the Trav Media Awards. So huge congratulations, Sassy. Such brilliant news.
Okay, so hi everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I am Sassy Wyatt. I am a travel and accessibility consultant, and I am totally blind. I lost my vision in September 2013, so I haven't been able to see anything except light since then. And colour was always a massive part of my life, and I love brightly coloured things, the brighter the better. I've never had rainbow coloured hair, however, I have had different coloured hair over the years, which brings me nicely on to how much I love and appreciate colour, because not only do I appreciate it in the respect of it brings me joy knowing that I'm wearing something colourful and I can associate it with a feeling or a time or a mood, but colour helps people express themselves, and I've always appreciated being able to express myself through colour. And right now, I've just had my hair re-dyed, and I put it up on social media and was asking my audience, because I think it's really interesting how other people perceive me with my colour. So my hairdresser, when she did her colour, said that it's a combination between cherry red and red brick. And so that's given me a really great indication of what I perceive my hair colour to be. Because when we were talking about what the colour is actually called, it's called cowboy copper. And my brain automatically started to go to copper pennies and copper piping, which was completely off scale to the colour that she was telling me it was, and to the colour that whenever she said red did not come to my head. So it's really great for me to have the nuance of colour rather than just saying red, blue or green, because I really do care about detail.
I always wonder how colours get their name, paint colours and lipstick colours in particular are so random, but are there any colours that you struggle to visualise?
As far as I can tell, I don't struggle with conceptualising colour as long as you give me your nuanced description. So because it's on a spectrum, if you say something is chocolate brown, I imagine the colour of chocolate. However, if you say chocolate brown for a Labrador, we all know that's a slightly different shade of chocolate, technically, to a bar of Dairy Milk chocolate. They're still both called chocolate, but it's slightly different. So for me, I enjoy other people describing what they perceive the world to be like, because I get to then imagine the world through their eyes. But I really am big on thinking, as long as you'll give me a better description than, you know, red, green or blue, then we're pretty good to go.
So you mentioned to me recently that sometimes people try and describe colours to you, but because the description isn't clear enough, you might just default to choosing a colour that you already know, like black. So how can we describe colour to you and to anyone else who may be blind to help you appreciate it?
I think what would be the best is to just explain how you want the colour to make me feel. So what does the colour evoke in you? Is it joy? Is it passion? Is it frustration? Is it, contemplation? And I genuinely believe that when you pair it either with an adjective or a verb, or you explain the scenery to me rather than just it as a bog standard colour, then it will bring the colour to life for me and deepen our connection, as, you know, whether it's on social media, whether we're friends, whether we're having a conversation over lunch. And it brings the world to life for me. So for example, if we think of a beach, then we know that beaches generally have golden sand, but we all know that beaches actually have different coloured sand. So you actually explaining that it's, you know, a yellow sandy coloured beach with turquoise waters and palm trees is a lot better description than just saying a beach theme, because I'm going to imagine the one I've just said. But if you are in Jordan, that might be completely different colours. So you need to give the world to me the way you want me to actually see it, rather than just how you think it's going to be perceived.
The way we sort of interact with the world these days is very much determined by social media, but plays such a big role in people's daily lives. So I'm really interested to know in how you actually navigate and use social media. And what are some of the things within social media that people may not be aware of that can actually help someone who's blind?
Sure. So I, being completely blind, I use a built-in software that's within all Apple products. So I'm not trying to vote for Apple, but I do have Apple products. And within that, there's a screen reading technology called VoiceOver. A VoiceOver essentially gives me the world back. I can use my phone, I can use technology, I can use the internet exactly the way you do, except everything that my phone does, it speaks to me first. And then when I'm scrolling social media, there's no difference, except if you do not add something called alt text, which effectively is how to describe an image or a video to anyone with visual impairment or anybody who uses a screen reader, because there's a massive population in this world that actually uses screen readers and we don't realize it. If you explain what your photo is of or your video is of, then you're bringing it to life. And what's the extra bonus about that is because all social media is becoming search engine optimized, you'll probably rank higher on the algorithms if you are to add alt text appropriately. So for example, explaining that I'm wearing a turquoise blue jumper and my hair is cherry red and I'm a short petite white woman, throwing my hands in the air, joy, gives you quite a vivid picture of what you think I'm doing, rather than, you know, the JPEG name, which is what I always seem to get on social media.
She picks up the JPEG name.
Most of the time, yes. Or sometimes, because it's becoming more sophisticated, it's trying to use AI. But my favorite is where it's saying something like, two people in a wedding dress, or a person in a wedding dress in a wedding scene, they look content, for example. And then I'll try and use tools that I have in the blind world to analyze that picture, and I'll be like, no, this is just a woman hanging out a wash, and it just happens to be a white dress.
So in a photo, there's a bit called alt text where you could go in and put a description. But on videos, I don't think there is one. So, I mean, do you mind if people write it out? I've noticed some people put their descriptions underneath the post or even in the comments, or, you know, what's the best way of sort of describing a video?
My favorite way personally of people to describe a video is to put their caption in. So let's just say we're talking about Instagram. Write their caption at the end. Say video description, and then give a little down low of what's happening in the video. And then if you're a hashtag user, put the hashtags after that, or in your comments, wherever you put it, because it means that as a blind person, because I'm reading the caption with my screen reader, I will then get the full picture of the video and what you're showing me. If you put it in the first comment, which I do respect and understand, but if you put it in there, but then you're the type of account that gets hundreds of comments, that's a lot of effort for me to scroll and scroll and scroll and just hope and find a video description comment. So for me, if you've got the space, it's best practice to put it in the caption. I do wish that Instagram would follow Threads and have an alt text button where you could add a video description, but thus far it has not.
I've seen you putting up direct sort of posts to the head of Instagram, explaining to him, look, sort this out. Have you had any kind of response from them?
No, I have not. And I've sent many emails as well. I would really love to get in the room and just chat, because I think what bothers me more than anything else is they jumped ship with Instagram, created Threads, didn't make Threads accessible until basically every disabled person and charity around the globe started revolting that had access to the internet, at least. Then they started to make Threads more accessible than Instagram. But the people who run Instagram or Threads do not add alt text to their own images. So they are basically telling me as a consumer, we still don't care about you. We're going to give you lip service by putting something else in and suggest to others to do it, but we're not going to do it ourselves.
So what happens if someone doesn't put an alt text on an image when you're scrolling? Does it just pick up this JPEG name, or would it be nothing?
Yeah, it tends to pick up either a JPEG name, or with AI becoming a bit more sophisticated now, it might try and figure out what it is, but it tends to get it very wrong. I am a very short woman. I am 4'9", and it loves to tell everyone through AI that I am a child standing with my father. He's my husband. No,
well, my
we're in an embrace. I am not kissing my husband. I'm not kissing my father on the lips. You know, I'm embracing my husband. But because it's suggesting that's what it thinks we are, it will come out with generic answers. And I think on a different scale, you are non-binary. You want to make people aware that you are non-binary. These are the reasons you should be adding alt text, because otherwise blind people like myself are going to make mistakes and assume the wrong things because you're not giving us the information we need to be on the right pages you need us to be.
And what's really interesting is there's been a lot of reports of AI just being completely oblivious to race in particular. It very favoritizes a particular aesthetic of person.
Yes.
Which we're a long way from getting that diversity in AI. So you mentioned that you lost your sight fully 10 years ago. Was social media something that you used from the beginning? Were you using it before you lost your sight? Or did it become something that's...
That's a really great question, actually, because I am 33. So I was in the Facebook era. I grew up with Facebook. And then Twitter was something on my radar, and I never really bothered about it. And then I went to uni and all my friends were on Twitter at the time. So I was on Twitter with vision, and then I lost my vision, and Twitter at the time was the only platform to include anything about alt text or making their content more accessible. So then when we realized that people could do this to their social media platforms, we as the disabled community rallied to and against and started asking the other massive social media companies to do so. I remember being at uni when Instagram came out, when Snapchat came out, but because I was partially going blind, partially sighted, but still having some vision, they didn't make the apps accessible to me then, even when I had some residual vision. So by the time I lost all of my vision, neither of these apps were accessible at all, to the point I couldn't even log in. I may have had accounts with them, but I couldn't log in. At least now I can consume a lot more than I ever have been able to before, but they are still not where they need to be in terms of full accessibility to all.
Like, you're quite active in obviously pointing this out as well, and actually letting people know. And I know you mentioned Instagram haven't got back to you, but has there been anyone who has got back to you and sort of appreciated your advice and sort of thought, you know, thank you, we're going to use this? Or
yes. So I contacted Pinterest many years ago when I first started blogging. And as you will know yourself, there are hierarchies within all companies of large scale. And you first go through the customer service, who do their job, but they are basically told a copy and cut paste answer. So when I got those responses, I was grateful, but I said, I'm sorry, this isn't good enough. I'd like to speak to somebody higher up. And eventually got to a higher up and they took it on board and they were very receptive. And then there was a recent incident with Pinterest where they had somehow removed the alt text feature. So I contacted them again and they were extremely apologetic and said, we don't understand why this has happened. We have been told to remove it, but we don't understand why. And because you are a part of the community, you're bringing it to our attention, we will investigate and we will make sure it goes back. So sometimes even just being one person sending an email can make a lot of difference. And that is not because I have a social media following. That is genuinely because I just pointed it out to them. So when they listen, they are actually quite good at responding. But when they don't listen, i.e. with Instagram, where they never bother to even give a response, that's when it's frustrating.
So I'm really interested in the idea of colour therapy and how colour makes us feel. And it was really nice how you kind of described, if someone describes a colour to you and how it makes them feel, that you get a better kind of understanding of it. So it was really nice to kind of hear that. Because I get asked a lot, oh, but does colour actually affect our mood? How does colour affect your mood depending on the colours you decide to wear that day?
Colour affects my mood in lots of different ways. There is a sort of joke in my household that my husband tells me, okay, yes, you are wearing a bright yellow jumper and you look fantastic, but you've just paired it with a completely wrong coloured pair of trousers. So because I'm blind, I do colour clash sometimes. And then my hair being the colour that it is, I sometimes look like a traffic light. And much to my mum's horror and my husband's amusement, I do sometimes go a little bit wild with it. And that could also be because sometimes I haven't labelled all of my clothes the correct But in reality, I've actually noticed that when I wear brighter colours and when I embrace the colours that I'm wearing, and I'm more mindful of it because, of course, I can't see it on my body, I feel better. And yellow and orange and pink and red have always been like very, very vivid in my mind. And so for me, I kind of say that the deep set of an indigo purple along with those reds, pinks and yellows and oranges is like the sunset brand in my mind. And those are the colours that I have always been drawn to the most. So I'm a massive lover of purple, but there are some purples that I just know I'm not the biggest fan of in comparison to other purples. But I believe that colour really can transform your opinion of yourself and your day and your mood, because I think, yes, people wear black and they can look sleek and sexy and fabulous, but why not put a bit of pop of colour in there and you'll light up the room, because you'll be putting something different on your body.
That's such a lovely message to end with there. It's so nice. I feel so much passion from you talking about colour. So I'm really pleased that you can still enjoy colour. What was really nice that the two of us recently went to an art exhibition, like an art trail, and you were using an app called Navi Lens, which actually described the visuals and the colours to you. And you're actually saying, yeah, you are really interested in what they actually look like and what colours they are.
Yes, I think people assume that I wouldn't be interested, but then on the other hand, they're so worried about getting it wrong. And I think, you know, there has been so much ignorance and discrimination to every group of people on this planet, and it has gotten worse over years. So I understand people feeling like they have to be politically correct, especially around me as a disabled person who's blind. But what I feel is that people should just say it how it is. And I will tell you if I'm offended. And I'm not saying I'll come into anybody's comments on social media and be like, I'm offended. But the reality is it's easier to just be yourself. And then if somebody feels like you are personally overstepping a mark, they might let you know. But when it comes to colour, when it comes to art, when it comes to anything, disabled people and blind people in particular do care about it. I certainly do. And 93% of blind people, even those of us who are registered blind, actually have some vision. And a lot of it is colour. So by saying that, or thinking that blind people don't care about colour or art is mostly incorrect. There are, of course, going to be blind and visually impaired people that are like, I don't give two hoots about art. That's cool. That's like any other person around the world. But that doesn't mean because we're blind, we don't care. It's because it's just not part of their personality.
And of course, you are a travel blogger as well. So there's so much, there's so many incredible ways that you actually share about your journey and how you actually travel and how you see the world as someone who's blind. And obviously a great way to discover all that is through your blog. It is through your social media. So let us know where we can find you.
Oh, thank you so much. So my blog, my website is blindgirladventures.com, and my social media, you could probably type that in as well, but it's Sassy Wyatt Official.
Thank you so much, Sassy. And I think that you've actually given us some really clear pointers with some practical information for anyone who actually can literally from their next post go ahead and make it more accessible, which is so helpful, because I don't think it's something that we're necessarily told otherwise. Like, it's not something that, yeah, we've been told on a daily basis to do this. So I think we need to hear it from people and make us realize. So yeah, really appreciate all that advice.
No, thank you so much. And honestly, I'm very open. So if anybody ever wants to ask, does the alt text work or have I done it okay, then message me, because I'll let you know. The fact that you're trying it actually means more to me than people who know about it and still don't bother.
I really enjoyed speaking to Sassy. She has such a passion for living life to its fullest by experiencing as much as she can. And even though she can't see, colour is so important to her. And it's just so wonderful. And I just really wish that more people would actually take notice of this. I see it all the time. So many big brands in particular who don't put subtitles on their content for people who can't hear. And then people that can't see, there's no descriptions. We can all do our bit. And it was great when Sassy mentioned how she wrote a letter to Pinterest. And even that one letter from one person could help make a difference. If you do use social media, then I hope this episode helped you think about how you could make your content more accessible. Now, we mostly went into details about Instagram. You can add alt text on photos. You can write video descriptions for videos. If you want to hear about how to make other parts of your social media accessible, then do follow Sassy because she does share a lot of tips. And as she mentioned, you can reach out to her too. I'll also put all her contact details in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for tuning in. It's always great to have your company. If there's a topic about colour that you want to hear more about, then get in touch with me. My email is momtazbh@hotmail.com. And you can also find me on social media at momtazbh. And I'd be very, very happy to answer whatever I can. So finally, I just want to say a big thank you to Cellophane Company for my fantastic theme tune. And I hope you have a brilliant month, and I look forward to sharing more from the world of colour next month.